to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Here we are, another broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program coming to you from hot and humid Memphis, Tennessee. You know it's summertime in Memphis when you go outside and you can't even breathe. That's where we are. And we're glad that you're here with us, James Edwards and Keith Alexander, AM 1380 WLRM Radio. That's our flagship station. We're also going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and we are being listened to by a worldwide legion of loyal TPC fans on the internet, simulcast, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and libertynewsradio.com. It's great to have you with us this evening. We've got a very busy show for you tonight. And I tell you, Keith, you know, I'm just looking around here. We let the fans know a couple of weeks ago that apparently some radio station interns had, you know, put the Glade plugins to work. But at some point, so it smells good in here now, but at some point, as you know, Keith Alexander and I are looking around right now, we're going to have to get in here early and clean up our studio. It's always, well, it's always a little messy, and I'm a neat and orderly, squared away kind of guy. What are we going to do about this?
Well, some of the hosts on other shows at this radio station apparently aren't, so we're going to have to get in here and, or at least hire a maid or get somebody in here to clean this place up. It's just a lot of debris. It's not really dirty. It's just a lot of clutter here, right?
That's right. It's papers, and you know, and like I said, we always leave a piece of us behind here when we leave. A little bit of our soul, a little bit of our sweat and blood goes into each broadcast. So you know, it's just it's kind of like a locker room here in the studio. It's messy. You know, you know, tape, you know, for, you know, you could sprain an ankle. You get so excited, you jump up and down in your chair. You never know what's going to happen. And, you know, papers everywhere. It's just, this is a living, breathing, you know, broadcast studio. What can I say about it? But anyway, we're going to leave it here in 3 hours, a little bit different than the way we found it, because 3 hours from now, there'll be a lot more truth being sent out to the world. And that will be as a result of our tireless efforts. You know, folks, you can't count on many things anymore in today's modern society, but the one thing you can count on, the one thing you can bank on, is that every single week, without fail, rain or shine, heat or snow, your loyal commentators here at the Political Cesspool radio program will be here with you on Saturdays to bring you a show. And Keith Alexander, I'm so blessed and fortunate to have him with me as we kick off the show each week. You know, we think that the second and third hours of our weekly program are pretty good too, but Keith, you know, the fan mail comes in for you each week pretty regularly, and I'm reading one now that says, "I have found my true conservative news source at the Political Cesspool. I look forward to James and Keith's commentary during the first hour each week. Please keep up the great job you and your staff are doing. There's no other show that even comes close." And that was, Keith, a message left by one of our fans today. And, of course, earlier in the week, you got a little fan letter from a listener all the way over in Australia. So this program really reaching to the far corners of the world, and that's something, of course, we're very proud of.
People of wisdom and discernment are everywhere, aren't they? Not just joking with that, but it really is gratifying to hear comments like that, and it just spurs us on to let us know that what we're doing is appreciated. And quite frankly, if it weren't for us, there would be none of this. There's no other place on the AM or FM radio dial where you can get this type of news and commentary, analysis, and of current events.
Well, Keith, that's right. And with that being said, and the stage now being squarely set, I know in talking with you earlier this week that you want to revisit a line of thinking that we first embarked upon last week. And so for the people who weren't tuned in last week, and surely no one in the world wasn't tuned in last week, but if there were a couple that are tuned in now and didn't hear what you had to say last week, kind of bring them up to speed and tell us why you want to continue on that course.
Well, last week we were talking about a visit I made with a friend to a church that's not my home church a couple of weeks ago. And when I went to that church, lo and behold, I heard a sermon that was not centered around Jesus or his disciples or some Old Testament prophet's teaching, but on Rosa Parks and the Civil Rights Movement. And, of course, it featured a Baudelaireized fairy tale version of Rosa Parks and the Civil Rights Movement. Rosa Parks, it started out, was an ordinary working woman, a seamstress at a local department store. Well, in truth, she was the head of the Montgomery, Alabama NAACP chapter, who had been elaborately prepared and schooled to carry out the arrests, to set up her arrest so that she could legally challenge, and the NAACP could legally challenge the public accommodations law for buses in Montgomery, Alabama, and try to directly overturn the Plessy versus Ferguson decision, which was the foundation for legalized segregation. It held in 1892 when decided by the U.S. Supreme Court that separate but equal did not violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. And that had been the law for approximately, I guess, what would it be, 62 years in 1954, when Brown versus Board of Education came in and said that segregated schools, racially segregated schools, were in violation of the Equal Protection Clause. But then in 1955, the powers that be running the liberal juggernaut in America decided that they wanted a spotted cow case. They wanted a direct confrontation of a similar situation to the Plessy versus Ferguson case, which involved segregated railway car accommodations. So they picked this up. So, you know, it's amazing that this mythology and folklore not only has permeated just about every institution in America. You hear this on the radio, you hear it in the TV, you hear it on the newspaper, but you also hear it in churches, James.
Well, and that's something, Keith, that we're going to be exploring in to great detail, yes, this first hour, because there's been some more examples that we can bring to your attention from this front, and we hate to see this being the case and that this continues on, because we are a very conservative, pro-family Christian broadcast, and you hate to see that this institution seems to be failing us, or seem not failing us if it's stuck to its true core principles, but it has been infiltrated and subverted, just like so many of the other American institutions that our people founded. And so we're going to be talking about that, ladies and gentlemen, much more over the course of this first hour. You're really going to want to stay tuned. Keep the dial on your radio set here to your local TPC affiliate station across the country, or on the internet, keep the volume up real high. You're not going to want to miss a word that Keith Alexander and I have to say, because we've got a lot to tell you, and we're going to get to work here. After these words from our sponsors, you're listening to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, brought to you by the Liberty News Radio Network. We're just getting started tonight. 3 hours right ahead of you. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be
misunderstood. Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, my friends, James Edwards here with you, Keith Alexander here with me, and we're happy that you've joined us tonight. We're just getting started, going to be covering a lot of ground this evening, as we always do. A federal judge last week banned prayer at a local high school in Texas and threatened jail time for anyone caught bowing their heads. The same group that brought forth the original lawsuit in that case to ban Christian prayer are defending Muslim religious practices. No double standard or hypocrisy there. We're also going to talk about Michelle Bachmann. She claims to be a Tea Party idol and a conservative Christian, yet she really loves Israel and, in fact, considers herself to be Jewish.
You know she's raised her own
even though she was raised a Roman Catholic. We can learn something from the Indians, and I'm not talking about the misnamed Native Americans. I'm talking about the real Indians. What could we learn from them? Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit later tonight. Illegal aliens need to be potty trained. What is going on out there in El Paso? We're going to revisit that story this week as well. And 48 women raped every hour in the Congo. 48 women every hour. All of those stories and much more. Yes, we're going to talk about Wienergate. Winston Smith, political cesspool co-host, you know, he's having some trouble hearing right now, so he can't join us on the air, but he can still type, and he has been, he's been making up, taking up the slack there for not being able to join us on the broadcast the last couple of weeks while he gets his hearing fixed. We're going to cover his article on the Anthony Weiner Circus and talk about George Allen as well. Winston calls him a herpes politician. Why? Well, I'll answer all of those questions and more, ladies and gentlemen, before the sand falls from the hourglass this evening. That is all coming your way tonight. Not over the course of the next month. We're going to jam all of those stories into tonight's broadcast. So I'm telling you, you're going to have a lot of fun. Don't miss a single second. But first, during the course of this first hour, the time that I have with Keith Alexander as my co-host this evening, we're going to be going back into the question of the Christian church being infiltrated by the same cultural Marxist influences that have taken over our other institutions. And we're going to look at it from a couple of provocative angles that perhaps, almost undoubtedly, you haven't heard covered on any other mainstream broadcast entity. So, Keith, back to you, my friend.
Well, we hate to criticize the church, but unfortunately, we pull no punches here at the political cesspool, and we will call things by their proper names. And unfortunately, in classic cultural Marxist fashion, the long march through the institution, the primary technique used by cultural Marxists to affect a socialistic, communistic Marxist takeover of any society, that path, that long march, is led right through the churches of America. Now, the church that I attended and commented upon last week was a mainline Protestant church. Now, for you, those of you who aren't familiar with the Protestant mainline churches, they're the old established starchy churches. They talk about the seven sisters of the mainline. You've got the Episcopal Church, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Lutheran Church, the Congregational Church, which was the Episcopal Church of New England, the source of all these abolitionists like Henry Ward Beecher and others that harangue people from the pulpit in the run-up to the Civil War about abolitionism. The Disciples of Christ, that's another church that's in the main line, the Northern Baptist Church. And I'm probably leaving someone out, but anyway, those churches used to be the most influential churches in America. More presidents came from those churches or were members of those churches than fundamentalists or Roman Catholics, so consequently they were... That's why they were called the mainline. They really controlled thought and were the exemplars of Christianity in America, at least in the beginning. But they are all in a state of decline and decay now. All of them are losing members every decade. And the reason is their true faith nowadays is not Christianity. It's liberalism. They seek converts, but they're not seeking converts to Christianity, they're seeking converts to liberalism. Now, I wish I could say that things were in better shape in the Roman Catholic Church or in fundamentalist churches, but alas, they aren't. You've got the same cultural Marxist infiltration occurring in all churches, Roman Catholic, fundamentalist, and mainline Protestant. So, consequently, there's really nowhere to turn. It's very difficult for a Christian to find a good church nowadays because rather than hearing about Jesus or about his disciples or about some Old Testament prophet or one of the traditional teachings of the Christian church, you're liable to be confronted with a sermon about St. Rosa Parks or St. Martin Luther King or any of a number of, even St. Malcolm X, heaven forbid, okay?
Well, and Keith, obviously this disturbs us on a personal level, on a spiritual level, because we want to be ministered to by our churches, and we don't want to hear the false gods of political correctness coming from the pulpits there. And if we haven't shocked you yet, wait until Keith pulls down this article. We talked about our studio being cluttered here at WLRM. Keith brought an article into the station tonight that covers a story coming from another so-called church here. Now we're getting into the area where you have to question if they're even churches at all. Keith, tell them what's going on here at, what is it, the First Congregational Church?
Yeah. Well, what it is, this is where the rubber meets the road. You want evidence that liberalism is supplanted Christianity is the primary teaching of so-called churches. This is one of them. See, and there's no wonder why these mainline churches and, quite frankly, the Roman Catholic Church, at least in its traditional constituency here in America, is losing members. When people seek a loaf and they're given a stone, or when people seek a fish and are given a serpent, they're going to look elsewhere for spiritual sustenance. And that's what's happened. Now, what James is talking about is an article in the Commercial Appeal that says, Justice for All rally scheduled Sunday. Groups will fight Tennessee legislation targeting people who are on the margin. More than 200 people are expected to rally against recent legislative measures of the Tennessee General Assembly at 3 p.m. Sunday at First Congregational Church in Midtown. It's known colloquially here in Memphis as First Congo. The Congregational Church is a New England church. It came down here as a carpetbagger church after the Civil War. There were two. You know, this is First Congregational Church. That's for the white people. There was a Second Congregational Church near a Freedmen's Bureau school that's now Lemoyne Owens College that was for black people. Now, the Justice for All route. Now, today, First Congo is the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered church of Memphis, and they proudly proclaim it all the time. Now back to the article. The Justice for All rally is a collaborative effort that will target groups affected by or opposed to recent legislation, including bills that require picture identification to vote. Oh, what a horrible imposition that should be, right? And a prohibition on changing gender on an individual's birth certificate after sexual reassignment surgery.
Hang on. I've just got to make Keith stop talking right there because I've got to chime in here. Okay, so this, ladies and gentlemen, is what we're talking about to an extreme example, to provide you with an extreme example. You've got this so-called church here. I mean, this passes as a legitimate church. It's tax exempt. It looks like a church. If you go there, it has a steeple. It's in a church building. They named themselves a church, First Congregational Church. It looks like a church. It smells like a church. Quacks like a church. But yet, when you go in there, rather than hearing traditional tales about Christ and learning about the Beatitudes or something like that, all right, they're in there and they're preaching against a bill that would require picture identification. Basically, they're in there preaching against having to show your driver's license if you go in to vote. Now that they're upset about a law that makes it hard for you to change your gender on your driver's license. Folks, we got to take a break, but you know, come on. We're going to be back, and we're really going to get into this. I'm stammering. I'm so shocked at this. I'm flabbergasted. I'm going to collect myself, and we'll come back.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Keith Alexander has the towel, and he's fanning me here, almost passed out doing his commentary. In the, he's my cut man. He's got that cold ice pack, and he's packing me down. But we're talking about infiltration of American institutions, and they've all been taken, except for some churches, although increasingly now the churches have now joined the camp of the cultural Marxists. We're providing you now with a pretty egregious example. And it's not to say that all churches are bad, but it's kind of like if you go to the movies now, not every actor in Hollywood is a stark raving lunatic liberal. But most of them are, and there's not enough good ones out there to really get you excited about going to see a film. And unfortunately, that's what's going on Sunday mornings now. And Keith's been talking about this church here in Memphis, and not really unlike too many other churches. And it's the first congregational church. And instead of going in there and hearing about Jesus Christ, you know, we're reading from the commercial appeal. We're reading from the newspaper here in town. And they're talking about, you know, this church is active in opposing bills that require picture identification when you get a vote. They're opposing legislation that would make it hard for an individual to change their birth gender, to change their gender. I mean, how do you change your gender? After gender reassignment surgery, they proudly say they are the church for the homosexuals, even though that's expressly forbidden in the Bible. They are close partners with Planned Parenthood. Obviously, abortion, killing, you know, babies, isn't something I think Christ would have approved of. So you look at this, and this is a church, okay? Or at least they say they are. Right? Keith, obviously, this isn't a church. By true definition, this isn't a church like most people would know a church to be. But as far as it goes, they say that they are. My question is, Keith, why even pretend to be a church? Because that's really what they're doing. I don't think you would go in there and hear anything you would expect to hear. So why are they even pretending to be a church? Why are they even operating under the facade of a church?
Well, look, I'm a little bit further down this road than you are. I'm a member of a mainline Protestant denomination. James is a member of a fundamentalist church. This may be somewhat new to him, but quite frankly, I've been living this through most of my adult life, this gradual incursion and subversion of the church by the forces of liberalism in America. It's classic cultural Marxism. It's a long march through the institutions. And James is now finally having to tell, you know, people in fundamentalist churches, for a long time, I assumed that they were going to be the faithful remnant. They were going to be the salt and light. They were going to be the people that resisted liberalism. But now, unfortunately, at least in our community here in Memphis, fundamentalist churches have embraced the so-called social gospel, which is basically liberalism, even more enthusiastically than mainstream Protestant churches. Plus,
well, not as bad as this church.
Well, look, they're all into the ghetto. You know, everything for the ghetto and everything for black people, everything for Hispanics, everything for everyone except the white people that make up the vast majority of the membership of their congregations. Now, you know, just give them time, James. They'll get around to the gays and the lesbians, and they'll get around to the abortionists, too. Because, you know, back in the 50s and the 60s, the Episcopal Church wasn't supporting that. They didn't have gay bishops in the 50s, but you let liberalism work on a church long enough, and the next thing you know, their true faith isn't Christianity, it's liberalism. Liberalism is the alternative religion. It's much more of a danger to America than Islam, Judaism, or any other Hinduism, Buddhism, any other official religion in the world. It is a secular religion, and basically what these churches have done, what the church did that was, you know, preaching about St. Rosa Parks, they have basically turned liberalism, they think that liberalism is absolutely the same thing as Christianity. So consequently, there's no inconsistency between liberalism. And if there's no inconsistency between liberalism and Christianity, then of course abortion is the right thing to do because that's what liberalism preaches to us. Of course, the civil rights movement and every other liberal cause is a Christian cause. And they've all embraced this now, James. I'm sorry. You know, it's just, it's reality.
Well, we talked about this before going on the air tonight, and you came up with a pretty good answer as to why they would want to make the church a base of their operation, a base for their attack against traditional values and cultural norms here in America. You know, you can go all the way back to the so-called civil rights movement, which we know was all about abolishing freedoms and private property rights and all that other stuff, destroying culture. That's what it was really all about. And yet so many of the key players in the so-called civil rights movement also came from churches because, you know, I think it's pretty obvious. It's a little more palatable. Their message is a little more palatable if it's presented from a pulpit rather than saying, well, here's Michael King. He came from the local communist you know, party headquarters, and he wants to tell you about his movement. Obviously, they need churches because they see him as, you know, centers of somewhat power and influence.
Yeah, that's part of it. The other part is that the cultural Marxists back in the 1920s and 30s concluded that classical Marxism was not going to affect a revolution, and that the white working class was totally inappropriate as candidates for the proletariat or the spearhead of the revolution. It was Trotsky and the cultural Marxists who said that racial minorities, blacks, Hispanics, all non-white people, are much better suited because all have a racial animus against white Europeans, because white Europeans had either dominated them economically or conquered them militarily, and that racial animus could be turned into what they called revolutionary zeal. Now, excuse me, just imagine for a moment that you are an atheistic liberal and you're considering the church. What would you think? You'd say, boy, they believe a bunch of hooey, they believe a bunch of baloney, but they sure do have a lot of influence, they sure do have a lot of wealth, they command a lot of people's allegiance, and they own a lot of very expensive real estate. Let's subvert them, let's go in there, take it over, and then turn them into an engine for the revolution. And that's what they've done.
And if you look at it, Keith, from point A to point B, from where they started to where they are now, you would think it would be nothing short of impossible to get even the most liberal of Christians to accept homosexuality. I mean, that is so expressly forbidden in the Bible, it's not even up for interpretation. So I guess they just trim their sails, they omit the things. Well, again, we're pretending that they're a church at all, when in fact they're not. But nevertheless, the fact that this was able to be pushed upon the people and accepted to any degree of success mind boggles me. But now you can go into the biggest Southern Baptist church in the world, which is right here in Memphis, Bellevue Baptist Church. It has, you know, 10,000 members in attendance every Sunday, and they've got, you know, singles mixers for, you know, all races. You know, they've got on their advertisements, you know, black women and white men, and that's all well and good.
Yeah, and it's not going to be long before they're being proponents of abortion and being proponents of gay rights.
How were they successful in getting this shoved down our throats?
Well, they were successful because they came in under false colors. They became pastors of churches and members of church hierarchies without announcing their true intentions or their true allegiances. And when they reached critical mass, then they converted the message from the traditional Christian message to one of radical egalitarianism. This is what's happened not only in the church, it's happened in higher academia, it's happened in news media, it's happened in the entertainment industry. All of these institutions have been taken over, and this is exactly the blueprint set out by the cultural Marxists. Max Horkheimer, Max Horkheimer, Theodore Adorno, Antonio Gramsci, Herbert Marcuse, all of these people. This is Eric Fromm. This is what they proposed back in the 20s, and lo and behold, they've pulled it off, James.
They did, and we're going to pull off another commercial break here. Just a second here on the Political Cesspool Radio program, but I hope you're enjoying your time with us so far. I know some of the news we bring to your attention, in fact, the majority of it, is a little bit of a concern to you. But you know, we got to get you the truth, and this is what's going on. It'll set you free, as the Bible said. I'm sure that's not a passage not in their Bible there at First Congo Church. But we got a lot more coming your way. You've got to know the facts of the situation, the unadulterated, unwatered-down facts, before we can move forward on reclaiming America's destiny and coming up with a solution. So, you know, you got to look at it with the stark facts. And that's what we give you here. That's what we're giving you tonight. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
If I didn't tell him, I didn't. Welcome back To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
We've got no less than a dozen news stories of all varieties forthcoming during the remainder of tonight's broadcast. But first, we're spending the entire first hour tonight with Keith Alexander, and this is the last segment of the first hour, focusing on infiltration of cultural Marxism, subversion of the church, and we're using an example found here in Memphis to make our point. But Keith, you know, I just got to get it back to you. You know, I asked you how, you know, do they just omit sections of the Bible? Do they think God was just joking about Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, to address the issue of homosexuality? And you said, well, they rewrite the Bible. They use different Bibles. We don't know what they use. But, you know, the thing is, I said, you know, we got to get back to the King James Bible and go back to the English just the way God spoke it.
You know, it's incredible. You know, fundamentalists say one of the primary principles of Protestantism was sola scriptura. In other words, we don't have to interpret the Bible through priests, and we don't have to have other people say what it says, and we don't adhere to the creeds of men or the formulations of men. It's only the Bible and only the Bible. Well, that's a great position to take. But if you do that, you can't rewrite the Bible every 10 years, which is what fundamentalist churches tend to do. The Scofield Bible, for example, is the source of Jewish dispensationalism, which is at odds with all Christian tradition in history. The traditional viewpoint on Jews in the Bible and in Christianity is called replacement theology in the Catholic Church, or the Church is Israel in Protestant churches. In other words, Jews were the chosen people until the coming of Christ. And when they declined to accept Christ as their Messiah, Christians became the chosen people. That's what St. Augustine thought. That's what St. Thomas Aquinas thought. That's what all the church fathers thought until John Darby came along in the early 19th century, and his views on Jewish dispensationalism became enshrined in what's called the Scofield Bible, which is the source Bible for a lot of fundamentalist Bibles that are in use today. Let's get back to this article, though. Here's what it really targets: people who are on the margin. It's like they're trying to pick off the people that are most vulnerable, said Joan Carr, director of community affairs for Planned Parenthood Center of Greater Memphis, i.e. the abortion people, and originator of the rally. Planned Parenthood will be representing patients who are at risk of losing access to some health care services, i.e. abortions, due to possible loss of federal funding. Advocates also will target Senate Bill 632 and House Bill 600, which goes into effect January 2012. The law bans local governments from enforcing non-discriminatory practices of sexual orientation and gender identity on private employees, but will affect other groups. There's a large number of people that benefit from additional protection, such as the elderly or people that benefit from Social Security. Also, gays, blacks, transgendered people, that's who they're really interested in, says Michelle Bliss, co-chair of the Shelby County Committee of the Tennessee Equality Project and a political science professor at the University of Memphis. Speakers representing different organizations will attend, including the Memphis Gay and Lesbian Community Center and American Federation for State, County, and Municipal Employees, AFSCME. In other words, the famous Memphis Garbage Workers Union. And it's now a national union for all government employees. So, and of course, we had an article on Western Voices World News this week, to which we link here at the Political Cesspool. Loss of government jobs hurts blacks hardest. Well, in other words, it's a coalition of blacks, gays, lesbians, abortionists, and all the typical suspects of liberalism. And they're meeting at this church on Sunday in Memphis to basically hoist the flag for liberalism. See, this is this is what churches are becoming, and a lot of them have become. We're going to have to do something about this, James, because our children are being taught that liberalism is synonymous with Christianity. Now, if that's what you're going to teach people in church, I don't want my children going to a church like that. Now, there's another article in the Memphis paper, and it says, the Faith in Memphis panel, are budgets moral documents? Well, who do they refer to get an answer to that question? A guy named Peter Gathji, who was so liberal he was run out of the local Catholic college and is now landed at Memphis Theological Seminary. And here's what he says. What are they going to do with the money? Unfortunately, this kind of individualism and rapacious greed have been the moral guides for budgeting and other legislation for quite some time. The result has been budgets that prioritize war, tax cuts for the wealthiest individuals and corporations, and budget cuts for the most vulnerable members of society, i.e. non-whites. Okay? Then, Rebecca Jordan Gnapp of the Workers Interfaith Network, talk about a communist front organization name. If that doesn't sound like one, I don't know what is. But anyway, here's what she has to say. Public workers who do the hardest work for the least money are laid off. Yet Jesus reminds us that how we treat the least of these is how we treat him. Then, of course, they've got to get the fundamentalist in there. He's a caboose, but he added as an afterthought. But then they have Dr. David Phillips of the Germantown Church of Christ. Dollars cannot cure the ills of society, nor can numbers on paper reflect the hearts of people of a city or nation. But they do send a clear message as to where our values are placed. Until we see that our success or failure as a nation is far more than a balanced budget or a vigorous economy, our hope for enriched morals and heightened values is a mere daydream. Well, in other words, you can't cut the budget, you can't balance the budget, unless you preserve all of these benefits for minorities. Now, the thing that is so incredible about all of this is that liberals are always fond of telling us, in fact, we had a caller call in and tell us this the other week, there are more white people on welfare in America than black people. Well, when they tell you to love your neighbor, who is your neighbor? Well, in America, the majority of your neighbors are white. Two-thirds of the American population is white. There are more people in terms of sheer numbers in America who are poor that are white than are black or Hispanic or other racial groups. And you would think that as a result, if you want to help the poor and the needy, most of your money would be going to white people. But if you will check into the charities in your community, you will find out that virtually all the money is earmarked and specified exclusively for the use of non-whites. For example, the Bill and Melinda Gates Millennial Foundation scholarships to try to send people into college names a whole list of people, but conspicuously missing from this list are white people. In other words, white people need not apply. Basically, the left has commandeered and hijacked all of the charity money in America, and they are using it for the exclusive benefit of non-whites. That's why we say that liberalism is not pro-minority so much as it is anti-white, James. And this is, you know, the church is falling right in line with this. They're trying to use their heft, their influence, their moral authority as a spear point for liberalism. They're going to, you know, liberalism now has the church on its side. And quite frankly, liberalism, at least in my mind, is not synonymous with Christianity. And a church that tries to convince me of that is no church.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our commentary on that. What does he say in Forrest Gump? That's all I got to say about that. Or, you know, every time he finishes a story in the movie or something along those lines. But you know, we don't have any more time to address it this evening. But, Keith, what do we want people – I don't want to be all gloom and doom. We have about 30 seconds before we go into break. you know, why did we bring all of this to their attention? It certainly wasn't to discourage them. And where would you have them go from here, just to wrap up this line of thought before we head into the second and third hour?
Well, you don't want to support liberalism. And if you're supporting a church which is actually whose true religion is liberalism, you want to get out. Well, what can you do when both Roman Catholic Church, mainline Protestant churches, and fundamentalist churches are becoming more and more liberal by the day? Well, what have we done in education? We have gone to homeschooling. We may have to go to home churching, just like the early church, where you know people met in each other's homes and had church services there surreptitiously, because the left has taken over our churches. It's a long march through the institution, James.
Thank you, Reverend Keith, and we will talk to you next week, my friend. But for everyone else, we'll be talking to you right after this next commercial break here on the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm James Edwards, 1 hour down, two to go. Stay tuned, and I'll see you in just a minute.
Hour number two of the Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
And Harv leaped to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the A.